This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wild Tuesday. Missiles are flying, strikes are happening, but we are going to pause all of those things, including hurricane aftermath and more. And let's discuss Vance versus Walls. Now, the debate is 2 hours from now. I've set aside any of these crazy notions of having a debate party because I am too stupid to be able to multitask. My brain doesn't work that way. People talk to me during these things, and then I can't hear what's being said, and I want to sit and nerd out. So I'm going to watch with the wife and my two sons. And even they will talk too much, but I can't exactly tell them not to ask questions. I'm trying to get them interested. But I'll be watching then. Oh, I should note, you don't have to wait until tomorrow night if you want to watch my reaction to it. I am going to do a live on YouTube right after it's over. It's going to be fast, 5-10 minutes, just quick reaction. So whenever the debate is over, youtube.com/JesseKellyDC, you'll see me on there. Anyway, I'll go do a live. But the Walls-Vance debate is tonight. Now, one thing I don't want to oversell is the importance of it. I don't want to undersell the importance of it either, but I don't want to oversell the importance of it. Will political people be watching? Yes. Will just norms and normas be watching? Yeah, of course they will. Yeah, they will. Are they going to watch for a long time? No. Historically, the VP debates have not been massive game changers one way or the other, whether we win them or lose them. We all remember that useless loser, Paul Ryan, getting his teeth kicked in by Joe Biden in a debate. You know, but other than things like that, they don't tend to stand out for us. But it matters to me for a variety of reasons. It probably matters to you for a variety of reasons. One, I'm a political nerd. I understand the stakes of the game. You're a political nerd. You understand the stakes we're dealing with here, and the stakes are high. Here's a headline. The Great Walls of China. Oversight, that would be House oversight, demands DHS documents on Dem VP nominee's ties to the CCP. You see, Tim Walls brags. He probably over-exaggerated this now, but he brags that he's been to China 30 times. The career teacher, the career government employee has been to China 30 times? That's before we get to the debate, let's discuss that for a moment. Have you been anywhere 30 times? I have never been anywhere outside of Red Lobster 30 times in my entire life. I'm talking about foreign countries. Nowhere even close to that. Maybe Mexico, I think I've been to 4 or 5 times, and it's by far the leader. Yeah, it's a good point, Chris, and we're like 100 miles away from it. It's right next door, and I've been 4 or 5 times in my life. Who goes to China 30 times? Okay, now let's just set aside the horrible suspiciousness of that. You understand how intelligence works, how blackmail works. It's not just something that happens in the movies. This is something we know now through years and years and years, honestly, through the centuries. This is how blackmail has oftentimes worked. You walk into a foreign land, they keep an eye on you. They keep a close eye on you. It's not because they know you're going to do something wrong. It's because in the event you do something wrong, they prefer to have a record of it just in case it comes in handy for them somewhere down the road, especially nations that are hostile to us especially countries obsessed with or as obsessed with surveillance as China, as the Communist Party of China is. What I'm telling you is this. If I, Jesse Kelly, now I can't ever visit China because they want to murder me there. The whole Communist Party is not happy with me over there. I should note. Yeah, Chris, their state media has even run articles about how hateful I am. And so I can't visit China or they'll just probably kill me or throw me in prison anyway. But what's that, Chris? Yeah, when I discussed American troops sitting on a throne of Chinese skulls, I will admit that didn't land well in the Chinese government. It did not. Anyway, so let's pretend like I wasn't on the outs with China. But let's just pretend I'm me. Just Jesse Kelly. If I go over there enough times, they're going to make contact with me. They're going to know I've gone over there enough times. It's going to be in their records. They're going to make contact with me. They're going to start to watch me. They're going to possibly bug me, record me audio, video-wise. Now, let's discuss this. Tim Walz is odd, isn't he? Any reasonable person who's seen how he speaks, his weird, frenetic hand motions... He shook hands with his wife when she greeted him on stage, didn't hug her, didn't kiss her, shook her hand first, and then they realized how awkward it was, and they had the most uncomfortable-looking embrace ever. Tim Walz is odd. I'll leave it at that. It's odd. A very odd human being. Do you think Tim Walz, 30 times visiting China... Do you think he spent all of his time eating egg rolls? Chris said yes. Why don't you grow up, Chris? Anyway, do you think maybe in 30 visits to China, look, this is a serious conversation. We're not doing gossip magazine stuff. This stuff has national, international implications. Do you think in Tim Walz's 30 times visiting China, you think maybe he ever did something he wouldn't want everyone to know? I don't know what that something may be, and I'm really not. I don't have any idea. I don't know how bad the drug problem is there. I know it's there. Think Tim Walz ever spent a couple hours in an opium den? Did Tim Walz ever step into a house of ill repute? Do you think the Chinese government has damaging information on Tim Walz? Of course they do. The dude already has a DUI here. What did he do in all that time in China? Do you think the Communist Party of China has damaging information on Tim Walz? It's just a very frank question. Do you believe that? I do. Spend that much time in another country, which that in and of itself is weird. They have damaging information on Tim Walz. Now, if the Chinese have damaging information on Tim Walz, and Tim Walz happens to become vice president of the United States of America, and China gives old Timmy a call and makes a fairly simple request. Hey, Tim, not asking for anything major here, but we are going to need from you, we're going to need the location of the fleet in the Pacific. Hey, Tim, there are some nuclear sites we haven't been able to locate in the continental U.S. Pass that info along to us, please. Hey, Tim, we are thinking about invading Taiwan. If we do so, we're going to want to hit America with a little EMP to fry out just the right amount of power grids. Hey, Tim, we think we have a good map of where they are, but... you are the vice president. You have access to all this information. Why don't you go ahead and send us a full list? Oh, and Tim, if you don't do this, if you don't click forward on that little email, well, there's going to be some pictures or video hitting the interwebs you're not going to be happy with. It's how espionage works. Political influence. It's how it's always worked. It scares me to know that that human being might be close to the White House. How often have we talked about the Biden family alone? Joe Biden and more specifically his son Hunter, and apparently every member of the Biden extended family having huge financial ties to China is not a small deal. It's a really, really, really big deal, especially when you marry that with things like, oh, I don't know, the U.S. military detecting a Chinese spy balloon over Alaska. The Biden administration allowed it to traverse the entirety of the United States of America from Alaska to the Atlantic. I need to remind you, it did figure eights over the top of our military bases, gathering all the intel it could. Biden refused to shoot it down until it had completed its mission and was over the Atlantic Ocean. That's the kind of thing that happens in peacetime when your president is compromised by your mortal enemy in China. We're going to do this a second time? So anyway, I got sidetracked with Tim Walz stuff. Let's go to the debate thing and why I'm excited, hopeful, and very, very nervous. I will explain in a moment. You know, there are days when I have to explain what's happening in Israel, what it's like over there. And then there are days like today where I think you pretty much get the message. The rockets are raining down. The people are in bomb shelters praying they live to see the sunrise. The IFCJ is still there. They're still there providing everything they can. Food, water, bomb shelters, flak jackets. As this whole spicy affair kicks off, it's the IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, that will be there trying to care for the Israeli people as they suffer like a nation going through war. Help them. Call them. 888-488-IFCJ or go to supportifcj.org. More debate talk next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 877-377-4373. Now, along our continuing theme for the night of wins can be losses eventually, let's talk about this. Vance is going to debate Tim Walz about an hour and a half from now, a little bit more than an hour and a half from now. And there are two things that make me extremely nervous about it. One of them is this. I'm very confident. I'm absurdly confident in Vance. And I've seen Walz. I've seen him debate. I know I'm a nerd. I've looked through old footage of him debating. He's not very good. And Walz rarely gets challenged. And Vance, I was actually talking to a GOP activist in Minnesota yesterday. He said if you could build the kind of guy who would get under Walz's skin, it would be J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance will be happy, but he will take shots that Walz doesn't want to have to take, shots that Walz probably won't handle well. Walz is well known to have an anger problem anyway. All these things. Look, everything looks good for Vance. And that's what makes me nervous, because every time this happens in politics, every single time, I'm looking at a race or a debate beforehand, and I've convinced myself we can't lose, every single time we end up losing. You remember the midterms? I predicted we were going to pick up 40 seats, and I swore to you I'd shave in a mustache if we didn't. And we didn't, and I had to shave in a mustache. My wife wouldn't touch me for a week. I've gone through this before. Remember the last debate, Trump-Kamala? Where we sat here the night of the debate, and we said, I don't see how Trump could lose. She's such a moron. She doesn't know any of the issues. She can't even speak. Trump knows all the issues. He's really great on his feet. It's going to be a great night for us. Woo! And what did we get? Well, my dad didn't leave me that much money, and there's lots of people at my rallies. Okay. Every time I get overconfident, it doesn't go our way. Now, there's another thing that makes me nervous. Back to the wins become losses. Remember when Donald Trump just slaughtered Joe Biden in that debate? I know you remember it. It was politically one of the most joyful, hilarious nights of my life. I watched every minute of the debate. Joe Biden was so bad. Everyone knew it was bad. My sons, now they're getting better about world issues and politics, but they don't even know what they're looking at yet. They knew in 5 minutes, Dad, what's wrong with him? Dad, he looks terrible talking about Biden. And then the post-debate, I went to bed. I don't stay up late. I think I went to bed at midnight or 1 a.m. that night. Why? What was I doing? Was I having a rager? I couldn't turn CNN off. They were crying on camera about what happened, about how bad it was for Joe Biden. I don't really have Democrat friends, couple Democrat acquaintances, but I do have a lot of political friends who have Democrat friends. And I told you that night, they were texting me. Democrats were turning it off a half hour into it and getting drunk. They were so depressed, so angry. That night was cataclysmic for Democrats. It was apocalyptic. It was Hiroshima for Democrats. It wounded them that badly. They watched their nominee for president destroy and his political career. And in their minds, they watched him lose the election. It was look, as joyful as that night was for you, that's how much that night hurt for them. And we celebrated, didn't we? I celebrated. I was up with Ob for hours and hours and hours, both of us, way past our bedtime, just watching. Oh my gosh, look how mad they are. It's a huge win, wasn't it? What a win. But wins can become losses, you see. Because if you're hosting a debate, we all know the Republicans are too weak, stupid, and useless to ever get a decent moderator for the debate. So every debate is going to be on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. They'll only walk into hostile territory. They'll only deal with communist journalists. Now, if you are one of those communist news networks or communist journalists, you have been given instructions. And your instructions, while they may be more detailed than this, your instructions from this point until the end of time are going to be this. Don't you dare let happen what happened during that Joe Biden-Donald Trump debate. Moderators and networks have been given in the most specific, emphatic instructions you could possibly give, and they will be given those instructions every single presidential election cycle. The Biden-Trump debate, that win for us, will reverberate for decades in communist circles. Moderators and networks will be told in no uncertain terms, don't you dare allow our candidate to go on stage again and destroy us and destroy his career. You better bend over backwards, sacrifice your reputation, do whatever you have to do to make sure that never happens again. In the wake of horrible tragedy like that, for them, you make adjustments. And again, after that huge win, remember the ABC debate? Yeah, Trump didn't have his best night, but between David Muir and Lindsay lip injections, the most biased debate I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen biased debates. Why was it so biased? Because David and Lindsay lips, they were both told, don't you dare pull a Jake Tapper or a Dana Bash. You better pray Kamala Harris walks off this stage looking good. And that's how they acted. And that brings us to tonight. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Now, let's just finish up this talk really quickly on the debate because I want to do some emails before I get back to the hurricane flooding stuff. There's just so much we have to tackle tonight. They know they're already down, too. You know how I just said the moderators are going to be uniquely biased? They know they're down. This was former Senator McCaskill, Claire McCaskill, Missouri. She's a total nutbag. But this is what she went on TV and said.
Okay, dive in the debate. What's
your
advice?
Yeah, I'm just a little worried about the expectations game at this point. I think people, yes, J.D. Vance has said some really, I think, disqualifying things about women and how he views people and their role in life. But he will be articulate and he will be prepared and he will be better than Trump was. And I think it's really going to be a challenge for Tim Walz to be able to counter what he is going to bring, at the same time stay really likable and relatable, and then also instill confidence in the American people that he's the better one to be in the wings in case something were to happen to the president. So I just think we need to lower expectations a little bit because then we can all be pleasantly surprised if I'm wrong and that Tim Walz just mops the floor with him the same way Kamala Harris mopped the floor with Donald Trump.
Okay, so McCaskill, the Democrats, they agree with me. It all looks on paper like J.D. Vance is going to just punt Tim Walz through the goalposts tonight. The moderators know that too. And the moderators know, the network knows, they will be destroyed by the system. There will be consequences if Tim Walz looks too bad tonight. Why? Because of the Biden-Trump debate. The Biden-Trump debate will be forgotten by the right a lot sooner than it will ever be forgotten by the left. The left will remember that pain. They will remember that night. And they will bend over backwards to make sure that never, ever happens again. That's what makes me nervous. Now, look, J.D. Vance, you know how hard I am on politicians, on our own side too. I just am. J.D. Vance has been awesome on the campaign trail. He's been awesome. On message, happy warrior. He's been great. Great energy. He's a great debater. What is he, a Yale guy one of these times? He's just a great debater. He just knows what he's doing. I saw his debate against, I think it was Miller, Tim Miller, Ohio, when he was in that Senate race. He just crushed him. Just absolutely crushed him. His timing is really good. Debates are about, this is really what makes some people great debaters and not. And debate prep, yes, it's important. It's important you know the issues. But what I'm about to say is oftentimes something you can't teach. Again, back to the other continuing theme for tonight, taking the temperature of the room. When do you strike? When do you stay silent? When do you parry? Those are important things. They will leave themselves openings. And if you time it right, if you can think on your feet in that way and avoid getting too deep in your emotions, you can knife them right when the time is right. right when the time is right. Let's talk about me for a minute. It's all about me, of course. Back when I was running in that GOP primary, my first ever congressional run, we had all these GOP primary debates, and one of them was huge. It was the one. So all the GOP voters, everyone was tuning in, and there were a few of us on stage, and it was me and, you know, the more establishment type guy. And everyone knew I was the firebrand, the hardcore right winger. But I loved debates. I love them. People get nervous for them. They're my favorite thing in the world. I enjoy fighting. I enjoy the crowd. I wanted to fight. And my timing was always what saved me in the debates. It was never that I knew more about the issues. I didn't know more about the issues. Now I knew the issues, but it was never that I knew more about the issues than the establishment guy. He'd been in elected office for a decade or something like that. I didn't know all the issues, all the numbers, dollars and cents, things that he knew. But what I did better than him, better than all of them up there, is I timed it right. We were only allowed a few challenges in one of our debates. I actually think this video is still online somewhere. I should dig it up. But we were only allowed a couple rebuttals in our debates. And once you used them, I think it was one or two, once you used them, you couldn't use them anymore. Well, people get nervous in the debates. And so they used all theirs up early on. And I was just waiting. And I was just waiting. And I was just waiting. And I was just hoping that he, the main opponent of mine, the establishment guy, I was waiting and hoping he would leave me an opening with something he said. He would expose, and I just held on to mine. I think there was like 10 minutes left in the debate, and I forget what it was he said, but he might as well have just opened up his chest and said, "Stab me, Jesse," because he laid himself out, and I destroyed him. The crowd went on their feet. They took a straw poll after. I slaughtered him. Absolutely, and it was in that moment. You time it right, and that's what J.D. Vance does very, very well. When do you block? When do you parry? When do you attack? Again, I'm getting myself all hyped up for tonight. And I shouldn't, because that's always when I get disappointed. I think it's going to be a good night. All right, let's move on. Let's do some emails, because I want to talk about some hurricane flood stuff and do some other things during the show. Dear Tiny Hands Jesse, you know, you guys are not nice. I live in Red, Ohio, but school districts are trying to remove LifeWise religious instruction as an option for students. I moved to a red area because a suburb of Columbus was turning from red to purple to blue. Anyways, some group tried to remove LifeWise from our schools a while back, and our very conservative school board shut them down, and we still have LifeWise. Local power matters. I miss parts of life in Columbus, but life is way better in my red area. Anyways, wanted to tell this story as an example of how local power matters. His name is John. Local power is everything. No matter what happens with the docks and the money and the war and the immigration and all things, no matter what comes for us, you will be better off if your community and, on a larger scale, your state are fortified against the communist menace, and you are the one who can fortify it. Again, no matter what, maybe we'll get this whole band back together again and we'll get things straightened out in this country. And if we do that, then if you have done the work and you've taken back your community, your school board, your city, your county, your state, then you'll be even better than everyone else. And maybe we will not fix everything. The history of the world says we likely will not. That's not something that happens when empires begin to die. They don't generally right the ship. But if that happens, if the Titanic really sinks beneath the waves, you will be so much better off right now if you fortify your area against whatever comes. We are going to get into some flood hurricane stuff here in a minute and back to taking the temperature of the room thing. But along those lines, I'm gathering as many stories and emails and things like that as humanly possible. And you know, a consistent theme I have seen from North Carolina, from Tennessee, where all this devastation is, this wasn't even government, it was a natural disaster. The people who had community fared so much better than those who did not. Asheville, blue-run, communist-run dump, which used to be a sweet place, I should note, but Blue Run Dump, complete anarchy, disaster. The more red areas where there was a strong community, they're helping each other, supporting each other. That's where we have to focus. All right, let's discuss all that in a moment. Before we do that, let's discuss, well, real estate. You see, hard assets. I just had a chance to talk to Carol Roth again the other day, and she was talking about the debt bomb, the debt crisis that is here. It's not coming. It's here. We're in the early stages of it. Carol, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? She said, well, you do what all the big finance giants are doing, what the nations are doing. They're buying up real estate. They're buying up precious metals, and they're buying up land. Land, real estate, precious metals. Land, real estate, precious metals. Because those things span the test of time. Those things will be around for ages. If you buy a home, it never drops to zero. It may go up, it may go down, it never drops to zero. Can you say that about your dollar? Done for you real estate. They can build you a portfolio that generates tax-free, consistent income over time. You can retire on it. Leave it to your kids. Go to doneforyoujesse.com to learn more. And also, you get a free copy of their new book, Micro Wins to Millions. Doneforyoujesse.com. Use the promo code Jesse to get your book. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a huge Tuesday. Debate starts a little bit more than an hour from now. World War III probably starts 5 minutes after that. People are still trying to put their lives together in North Carolina and Tennessee. We'll talk about that in a moment. And nothing is coming in the ports on the entire Eastern Seaboard. Other than that, nothing going on this October 1st in the United States of America. Now let's talk just for a couple minutes about the hurricane disaster relief stuff. So I told you I was going to dig and I was going to give you something most of you were already going to know this, but I was going to try to find something, a place where you can go to give and help. Here's where I gave. I'll give you two things. I gave to Samaritan's Purse. Also, Glenn Beck's Mercury One is amazing. MercuryOne.org is amazing. Glenn's been doing this kind of stuff for a very, very long time. That's where I would go if I were you. Samaritan's Purse or Mercury One. MercuryOne.org. If you have the means, if you want to do something, whether it's a dollar or whatever, that's where I would go to do so. Again, let me remind you, the nonprofit world, the charity world, it is dirty. It's full of all kinds of filth. It's full of people who rip you off. The money doesn't go where you want it to go. And so just be careful with your money. And I got this email. I wanted to clarify something here because a lot of this is charity CEO salary. That's the title of this email. And this can get confusing. So here's what the guy says. Jesse, longtime supporter of St. Jude Hospital, started looking at the salary of the CEOs. St. Jude's CEO is $1.3 million. Shiner's is $1.1 million. Samaritan's Purse, that's Franklin Graham, $880K. Wounded Warrior, $488. Tunnel to Towers, $0. Gosh, I love Tunnel to Towers. Of course, $0. Jesse, the president of the United States makes $400K. What makes these CEOs worth that much money? I know you're a busy guy. Check out the charities. Okay, so I understand when you give to a charity, and I'm not actually selling you on any of those. In fact, I hate most of the ones you just laid out there. They have great reputations they don't deserve. But so I'm not defending those specifically, but I will say this. Charity rating websites are actually more important than the salary of the CEO. Not everyone's going to be Tunnel to Towers where they just simply unload every dime of it. The Tunnel to Towers is unique. Tunnel to Towers and Pure Talk are unique. That's why I love them so much. That's why I adore them. Pure Talk's the same way. Money goes to the babies. Want to save babies? You give to Pure Talk. or not pure, preborn, I'm sorry. Preborn's the same way. Preborn, Tunnel to Towers, same thing. Money gets to the babies at preborn, money gets to the families in Tunnel to Towers. But let's set those aside because those are ones that you know I already have an affinity for. If the CEO of the charity you're giving to makes a lot of money, that's not always a bad sign. Sometimes it is. Allow me to explain. If I start a charity and it's just me and Jewish producer Chris, he'll handle the accounting. I don't need to make much money because how hard is it? I'm alone. All I have is Chris to worry about. I have one employee. We can't do very much because it's just two of us. We can raise some money. We'll distribute some things, but I don't need to be a very capable person to manage a charity of that size. But if you get into a large charity, a very, very large charity, and again, I'm not defending all these salaries. Some of them may be egregious and horrible. I'm not defending that. But if you get into a large organization, let's say Jesse's charity, which I would probably name my charity Jesse Does Wonderful Things for People. That's the name of my charity. So if Jesse does wonderful things to people, if it becomes a 1,000-person operation, 1,000 people, and let's just say I can't run it. I have to hire somebody to run it. Well, I need a highly capable human being to organize, to implement a vision, to be the CEO of a 1,000-person company, even a charity, is a big deal with a lot of responsibility, and I need a capable human being to do the job. Now, ideally, if we lived in this perfect world of rainbow and unicorns, ideally, I would find someone who's highly capable who wants to do it for free. But that's not how life actually works. Do you like to do a bunch of things for free? You can't find a person who's going to manage a 1,000-person organization for free. So me, the head of Jesse Kelly Does Wonderful Things for People, the name of the charity, I have to go find what? I have to go find a CEO who can handle a company of that size, and a CEO who can handle a company of that size is going to need to be paid. And if I don't pay him, I either found a saint or a moron. And there aren't a lot of saints. There are a lot of morons. So just by its size, a charity might need to pay a ridiculous amount of money to the CEO. Nobody wants to hear that. Everyone wants the Tunnel to Towers model where they don't take a dime. But in reality, charities are organizations too. Lots of them are scammers, as I've explained, but charities are organizations too. And if you're trying to find a man to take command of 1,000 people, you're going to have to find the kind of guy you're going to have to pay. That's bottom line. All right. So yes, CEO salary, the salary of the CEO, it does matter. I'm not saying just dismiss it at all, but charity rating websites are better than just looking at the CEO. And I don't want to give you a specific charity rating website because I don't trust those either. There are several. And whenever Chris and I are interested in something and we're looking something up, we look at several. Because I wouldn't trust one. If there's one, I assume that charity bought it and he's given them a good rating. I'm a naturally cynical and suspicious person. Go look at charity rating websites. Go look at them. And look, I know you'll be able to get access to those websites because you're probably looking on your Pure Talk phone right now, aren't you? You know, Pure Talk? Speaking of charity, you know Pure Talk's CEO? I'm going to get in trouble for this. You know their CEO was Mac V. Sog? Do you remember the history episode I did on Mac V. Sog? The super stud Green Beret Navy SEAL types in Vietnam behind enemy lines. The biggest studs in the world. That guy runs Pure Talk. Why do you think they hire Americans? Why do you think their charity, speaking of charity, is all about veterans? Getting them back on their feet, getting them healthcare, getting them what they need. That's the kind of company I stand behind. That's the kind of company I want to support. And I pay half of what I was paying with T-Mobile. Switch to Pure Talk. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you even more money. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.